Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh.
Today that the
the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I am the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. I'm here to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word that's able to save your soul, to cause you to be free. For the God that whom the Son has made free is free indeed. I don't know whether or not you're bound today by tradition. I don't know what you're bound by. I don't know what you're going through. But I want you to know that God want to make you free today. And by the word of God, you will be made free. By having faith in God, you will be made free on today. Today, we're going to be preaching from Daniel, the fifth chapter. But first, we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell them that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. Now, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, we lift your name up high, we give you all the praise and all of the glory, we give you all of the honor. God, your word say, if I be lifted up, God, you said that you would draw all men unto you. So, Lord, today, God, we ask you, Lord, to touch every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. God, cause them to be drawn closer to you, God. Cause them to have that relationship with you, God, that they never experienced before. Cause the supernatural, God, to take place in their life. Cause it that they, God, would know that there is a God in heaven, a God that created the heaven and the earth, a God that made man in his likeness and his image, a man that made the God in the mighty name of Jesus to make the firmaments and the heaven, the seas and everything, the animals and everything that you made it, God. So I ask you, Lord, to have your way today. Father God, those out there today, God, they're searching, God. They are not happy. They're not satisfied. They're not contented, Lord God. But God, they need a touch from you. God, they need to be saved. God, they want to be saved, God. They want to know you, God, as their Lord and as their Savior. So, Lord, move upon them today. Cause your word, God, to be manifested in their life. And this we bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, today we're going to be preaching from the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel. And we want you to turn to chapter 5 of Daniel. In that first verse, we're going to begin a reading. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princess, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of God, of the house of God, which were at Jerusalem. And the king and his princess, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank the wine and praised the God of gold and of stone. Here we see here in the word of God, the king Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who were we found in the word of God in that same book, how God dealt with him. And you see here that the king, it tells us that this king had made a great feast. And when we say great, he didn't invite 50 people, or he didn't invite 100 people. As sometimes we think, oh, we're doing it really good, and we have 200 or more people. But this man invited a thousand of his lords, and they drank the wine before the thousand. The word of God tells us that Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he commanded them to bring the gold and the silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. I'm telling you today, we need to hear what the word of God is saying to his people today. You know, God allows us to do great and mighty things. And God, he allows us to be in certain positions. I don't know what position you're in. I don't know what job you have. I don't know what city you live in. But I do know that there are times, and at this instant, that the Lord God, by inheritance, this man was on the throne. His father was no longer on the throne, but Belshazzar was on the throne. So he made this great deal. Because what? If he thought within himself that I'm great, I'm the king, I can afford to do all of this. So he made the feast, he invited the thousands, he began to drink wine. And the word of God tells us that while he tasted the wine, I don't know how much he had consumed, but he commanded them to bring the gold and the silver vessels, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. That the kings and his princes, see, all of these people of honor that he had invited to this feast that he was having. So therefore, the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, he had taken these things that they could drink out of it. And then they brought the golden vessels that was taken out of the temple of the house of God. So you have to be careful. Listen to me today. You have to be careful what you touch and what you do concerning what belongs to God. This man, this king, he decided that he was going to bring the vessels that his father had Nebuchadnezzar had brought. And he decided that I'm going to get these things and I'm going to bring this to this feast. And I'm going to invite my guests to, as we drink in this wine, as we have this festival and have our festive time, that we're going to be able to drink out it. And then the word of God began to let us know who was drinking out of these things. I was drinking out of the golden vessel that was taken out of the temple. See, what you need to deem things that they are God, these things that are in the temple of God. No, we are not worshiping. People are not to worship these things. But when things are of God, when God has certain things and has given people certain things, how dare we as people of God not being that person that caused our heart to not even look at these things being sacred. And they took them and they brought them so that his princes and his wives and his concubines could drink in them. And the word of God said they drank wine and they praised the God of the gold and of the silver, of the brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. The word of God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord my God, thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy soul, with all of thy spirit. We should love the Lord with everything that is within us. And we are not to make anything to be our idol, anything that we should worship or we should praise. If anybody that we are going to praise and anybody that we should praise or anyone that we should give the glory and the honor to is Jesus Christ himself. Because, of course, he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. I proclaim to you today that this king, he decided that they were, instead of praising God, not that he didn't know God, not that he didn't realize what has happened in the past to his father, but he decided that we're going not to praise the true and the living God. I'm not going to honor God, but I'm going to honor and to praise the gods of gold and of silver. I don't know whether you have a Rolex on your arm. Are you praising that God of gold? We can make anything out of God. Well, are we praising the house that we're living in? Are we praising those things of that china or that particular jewelry that you may have, that necklace, that earring, the car that you drive? We are not to put anything before God. Now, these people were drinking wine, and they were drinking wine, and they began to do what was in their heart anyway. Sometimes people say, because I'm drinking alcohol or whatever they may be drinking, they blame it on the alcohol. They blame it on the wine. But it was in your heart already. You didn't really reverence God. You didn't, it's not something that you did not want to do, but you got the boldness to do what you were doing. So they drank the wine and they praised the God of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, and of wood, and of stone. In that fifth verse, in the same hour, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. It was God's intention for the king to get the message. And in order for the king to get the message, the king had to see what God was doing. He had to see the fingers that was on the wall. They had to see what the writing, what God had them to, that hand to write on the wall. The king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. No matter who was in the room, no matter his princess, his concubine, and no matter who was in the room, he almost forgot about them because something that startled him, I've never seen this happen before. I've never seen a hand of a man writing on the wall. I've never seen the hand that wrote. And here we see that the Lord telling us an account of this man's change. And his thoughts, he troubled him. I'm quite sure it bothered him. What is this hand? Why is this hand, not the whole body, but why is I'm seeing this hand? his countenance changed. It's just like, could you imagine yourself seeing something that you don't ordinarily see? You're doing something that you into doing, and then God stops and God gets your attention. See, you didn't hear what God said, was telling you before not to do what you were doing, or not to go where you were going. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear the warning. Yes, you heard the warning, but you did not take heed to the warning. So God is saying, letting him know that I know a way to get your attention. The man, when he began to see that, because I think it's worthy for us reading that fifth verse again, of that fifth chapter of Daniel. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another. You can imagine how his knees, how they was hitting one another. He was scared. He was afraid. And the king cried aloud, bring the astrologers and the Chaldean and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came all of the king's wise men, all of the men that told have been the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation of thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. He thought, well, I'm troubled. My knees are knocking together. My countenance changed. So I'm going to call these wise men, and I'm going to have them to come, and I'm going to have them interpret this right, because I don't understand it. I don't see it. I don't understand what it's saying. Why are this man in? Why are the singers writing on the wall? But when he called them in, they could not interpret. They could not read. They could not interpret the writing. They couldn't make known the king's interpretation that was on the wall. Then was the king that shouted greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. They didn't know. If he was astonished, they was astonished too. And I'm quite sure the wise men, they were also, but they could not interpret the writing on the wall. Now the queen, by reason of the word of the king and his lord, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Don't worry about it. There is a man in thy kingdom. Sometimes you don't know who you have among you. You may have somebody that's around you or in your house or in your neighborhood that's in your city that you did not recognize. You didn't know who they were. Maybe you even ignored them. Maybe you shunned them. Maybe you didn't speak to them. Maybe you thought that they wasn't anything. But the queen said, the queen let the king know. He said, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is of a holy God. Now, she knew the Spirit of the Lord was in him, but she did not know what spirit it was. All she knew that Daniel was able to operate in the mysteries and the great things that God gave him, revelation and interpretation and all of this. But she was thinking that the holy God with a small G-O-D-S, like other idols, like it's more than one. I want you to know today there's not but one God. He don't need anybody else. We don't need anyone but the truth and the living God. So she's saying, there is a man in that kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the day of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of God, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, the father, the king, I say, the father, made master over the magician, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams, and showing of doubt were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So here, we see here how God, you may be in a back room. You may be in a corner. You may be where you may not be known. But if God be for you, it is more than they that will be against you. And God will make your gift known. And God will use you. So somebody out there today, I want to encourage you that you may be saying, Lord, you have gifted me. You have saved me. I'm sanctified. I want to be used. But all you need to do is to do the will of the Father. Because even as the Lord had caused the handwriting on the wall, and the men that the king thought was so great, the wise men, they could not interpret the handwriting on the wall. Nobody could interpret. The king could not interpret. But God had this woman, the queen, to remind him about this man Daniel, and to let you all already read his attributes, his all the wisdom and the knowledge that this man had, and the being able to interpret a dream. And when they had called Daniel, here in the 13th verse, They summoned Daniel to come. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel? Are you that Mary? Are you that Martha? Are you that Cindy? Are you that Cynthia? Are you that Petty Jean? Are you that MacArthur? Who are you? You may have been not in the forefront, but God did not forget you. God called the queen to remember who Daniel was. See, Daniel was a man of God, a man that God used it to do great and mighty things. The man that prayed three times a day. The man that had a great love for God. A man that the enemy tried to come up against. A man that the enemy tried to put in the lion's den. A man that put his trust and his hope. And a man that had his confidence and his faith in the living God. But when the time of trouble, in the find that the king needed some help, needed some assistance, needed somebody to come and to interpret what was happening, then God didn't let no one have the interpretation but Daniel. So God had the queen to tell the king that who was able, no, the wise men can't do it. Surely the concubines can't do it. Your princes can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. But there is a man that I know that your father, Nebuchadnezzar, dealt with, and he was able to give him insight. He was able to bring clarity. So I want to encourage you today to know that God is on the throne. And if God is for you, if God be for you, it is more than they that be against you. Because Daniel was, the enemy came after him many times. But here in the word of God, it was his time for God to get the glory out of his life. And you, as you see in this word of God, how Daniel was called to the forefront. There's a time that the word of God says there's a time and a season for everything. If you read Ecclesiastes, you will see what I'm talking about. It was his time to come to the forefront. In that 13th verse, again it says, then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, ah, thou that Daniel, which are the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jury. I have heard of thee that the spirit of a God, he's still using the same word that the queen used, because they did not know the true and the living God. In thee, that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me. He's telling them that I'll call in the wise men. I'll call in the astrologer. And they have been brought in before me. And that they shall read the writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not know, they didn't know the interpretation of the thing. But I need to know. In other words, you know, I'm at my end. I don't know what this writing is saying. It is so bad that my countenance has changed. He had already forgot about those thousand people he had invited to this feast. God has a way of getting our attention when we don't listen and when we do not obey. Here in the 16th verse, and I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubt. Now if thou can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy guilt be to thyself. I don't know, somebody God is talking to today. Somebody would have said, give me all that you have, give all that you want to give to me. I'll take the chain, I'll be the third in the kingdom. I'll give you what you want. I'm going to interpret, I'll tell you, because it's not for me. I want you know, I'm not going to do it for God. I'm going to do it for me. And I'm telling you that you have to be very careful what you take of the credit, of the glory that you would take, because every gift that God has given you, it came from God. If you prophesy, it came from God. If you speak in tongues, it came from God. If you interpret, it came from God. If you have the gift of healing, it came from God. All of the things that you may be operating in, it came from God. But here's a man of God, and he was saying, I cannot be bought. How many people can say that today? If you had the power in your hand and you had the gift of interpretation and nobody around to interpret what the king or what your supervisor or what the person that's in a high place, if they couldn't do it and they offer you, say, when you do it, I'm going to give you $1 million. You will interpret, and you'll take that $1 million, and you won't do it for the glory of God. But Daniel is saying, he said, let thy gift, everything you have, be to thyself. You keep those things and give thy reward to another. You don't have to give it to me. Don't give it to me. Give it to somebody else. Because I'm on business for the Lord. I can imagine him letting them know that, you know, he was really letting them know that I don't want it. I don't desire it. You can have it. Give it to another. But he said, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thy King, the Most High God. Listen to what the interpretation meant and what it's saying. He's speaking to the king. He didn't come bigoted as if, you know, I have the answer to the handwriting on the wall. I have the interpretation. But do you not see even the respect that he had for the king? Somebody ought to hear this today. You know, you may not like people or have some art against them, but when they a certain office, it's just like the president of the United States. You may not like everything that he does, but that is your president. You should not say Obama. He is president. Obama. So we supposed to give honor to whom honor is due. And we should not ever put down the leader. We should pray for our leader because he is the leader. Don't disrespect our leader. And then it says, O thy King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty. Now, God did all of this. God did all of this to your father. He gave him a kingdom, and he gave him majesty. He gave him glory, and he gave him honor. So the majesty that he gave him, all people, nation, and language trembled and feared before him. God gave him all of the things that he had. And people feared him because all that he had. And the word says, whom he slew and whom he would keep alive. In that 19th verse, I got to read it so that you can understand. And he said, and the majesty, and he, these all the things he gave him, majesty that and that he gave him all people, nations, and languages, children, and fear before him, whom he would be slew. If you feel like taking somebody's life, he did it. And whom he would keep alive, he did it. And whom he set up, he did it. And whom he would put down, he did it. But when his heart, somebody need to hear this, it's almost, my time is almost over. Hear what the Lord is saying here today. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, see, pride is a killer. When his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whosoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled. You knew what I did to your father. You knew why your father didn't honor me. You knew how your father wouldn't hear what I said. You knew what I did to your father. And thou, O son, O Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thy heart, for thou knowest this. You know it. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. Don't touch what belongs to God. And thou, Lord, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the God of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whom hand thou breathest is, and God in whose hand thy breath is, and who are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was a part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Listen. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Tekel, Euphrates. This is the interpretation of a thing. Meaning, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded the Shazza, and thy clothes, and he clothed Daniel with signed chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. And hear the word of God say, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Father, we praise you, God, even now for the word of God. Lord, touch your people, Lord God. Lord, have them hear, God, to hear what the Spirit has said unto the church, to the world, to the people. God, somebody, Lord God, has not humbled themselves. Lord, somebody is walking in pride. Lord, I pray, God, now, even as the word is gone for, God, that you would touch them. God, that you will forgive them for their sin. and for their transgression. And this we pray in Jesus' name. You have been listening to the Our Power broadcast. Please join us on this coming Friday at the same time. This is Dr. Mary McCoy. May the peace of God be with you now and forever.